7:18, and as you heard at the top of the hour, the students are returning to school this morning in Parkland, Florida. I understand they're going to have something of a minimum day. Teachers have been back for a couple of days preparing for the students' return. 17 people killed in the mass shooting on Valentine's Day, which will become known as the new Valentine's Day massacre, I suppose. And since then, we've seen threats across the school and even locally, thousands of teenagers nervous about going to class. It's just a terrible, terrible thing. How do we talk to kids about this stuff? Dr. John Huber is on the line with me. He's a psychologist with Mainstream Mental Health. Dr. Huber, good morning, and thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Okay, I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist, but you are, and so I'm kind of interested in what these kids must be going through in their mental, psychological, and emotional state returning to school.
Well, the first thing is there's no right or wrong way for them to grieve. I mean, that's essentially what they're doing, and now they're having to go back to the scene of the crime, so to speak. So I figure there's going to be a lot of different emotions, everything from being angry to a lot of tears being shed today. And I think the school district's done a really good job. They opened up the school on Sunday and let students, if they wanted to, walk around. And then today they're doing a half day, and the classes, except for first period, I believe, are only 24, 25 minutes apiece. And they're trying to get back into normalcy, and that's very important for the whole situation altogether, for the whole campus, for the adults, for the kids, for the community. So I kind of applaud their efforts doing this.
Yeah, the whole problem of getting back to normalcy, it seems to me, it's like trying to get closure following the death of a loved one, and then you have a funeral, and then people gather and they talk about that person. And I assume that's what's going to be going on today in their shortened classes. They'll be discussing it in every class, letting kids talk their hearts out. So at what point and how do you say, all right, we need to put this behind us and get back to work?
Well, I think it'll evolve on its own. They're gonna go in today. I doubt there's going to be very much math or science being done today. There's going to be a lot of communication, a lot of talking about what happened, the loss of friends. There may be, there's discussion of doing a memorial on campus. There's so much stuff going on through these kids' minds. And, they're probably, it's funny. Some of the kids are going to be very frightened to go back to the scene, just because of the events that took place. Other kids are not going to be bothered by it at all because it's kind of like lightning striking twice in the same spot. And I wager to say there's going to be lots of police presence around the whole campus. So it's going to be a safe environment for a lot.
Yeah.
In fact,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, one report said there were hundreds of police officers around the campus, very visible. So I don't think there's going to be an outright fear, but there's going to be an underlying, an undertow of concern that something might happen.
Sure.
Like that.
A lot of similarities in human emotional responses, and yet every single individual is separate and different. And I want to bring us, before we run out of time, excuse me, I want to ask about the mindset of kids who do these kind of things, these school shootings. We had a report this morning that police in Arizona said a pair of teens were making plans to shoot up a high school, and they were arrested because they started a GoFundMe campaign to raise money for their ammunition. We think of most of us think of teenagers as, doing crazy things. They're kind of, knuckleheaded kids, but never to the degree of the deadliness that we seem to see now.
Well, and a lot of stuff is going on. I mean, think about how kids think. It's not a normal process. I mean, our brains aren't fully developed until our mid-20s. So they're thinking, and procedurally, a lot of the kids, oh, I'm smarter than the police. I'm smarter than everybody else. I can figure this out, and I can get away with this. Nobody cares. Nobody's paying attention. They have this belief set that they're somehow indestructible. And so they're very brazen. For example, you just mentioned the GoFundMe account. And the good side for a lot of us is that they are brazen. And if we're just opening our eyes, we'll see this and we'll be able to stop and intervene. But the whole ability to think that it's okay or a good thing to go and harm peers in that kind of a setting when they are essentially are just, fish in a barrel is very disturbing on lots of levels. And I'm glad that, that these people are, you know, being addressed and intervened before anything like this happens.
Is there a cultural problem today? Is do we have too much violence on TV shows and in movies and in music? And has it made us all so desensitized as to not understand the horrible reality of it all?
Well, this is a very complex issue, and that is part of it. And, you know, it doesn't cause people in and of itself to go out and harm people, but it starts desensitizing. It starts planting seeds where kids may not have been thinking that way in the first place. And you combine that with, you know, things like a lack of appropriate parenting. In fact, one of the common things with kids who've done these types of things in school is lack of a strong father figure in their lives. And that doesn't mean that a child raised by a single mom is going to come up and do this kind of thing. But when the child is troubled, when there's emotional disorder going on internally, having that grounding force of both parents available is oftentimes a big deterrent in keeping these things from happening.
All right. Finally, what do you tell people? What do you tell the young people, and what do you tell their parents right now?
Well, first thing is you got to stick with the truth. I mean, we glorify things, and the media tries to sell newspapers by saying things like, oh, there have been 18 shootings since, you know, January 1 of this year, when in fact it's not that much. They're counting things like adults driving on school campuses and committing suicide in parking lots as a school shooting, which I think that misrepresents, and I think it sets a tone of fear. So make sure what you're talking about is factual. And if you don't know, don't be afraid to tell your child you don't know. You're going to find out. And only answer the questions that the kids are asking. Don't start elaborating, explaining, because, again, their developmental mind is delayed. Their processing and how they think about these things takes time. They may come back 2 days later with a follow-up question. It may be 2 months later. Let the child bring those questions to you. Don't just fill in the gaps automatically.
Boy, wish we had more time. You're terrific. I really enjoyed talking with you. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Dave, and I hope your partner gets better.
Oh, she will. She's on the road to recovery. Thanks again. Dr. John Huber, a psychologist with Mainstream Mental Health.